Hello, Ivy Podcast friends. My name is Suta.
And I'm Melissa.
We're coming to you together from Montana. I got a surprise this weekend.
Yes. I was so lucky enough to get a message from Suta's mom, who invited me out on the DL to come and surprise Suta on her birthday, which happens to actually be today. So happy birthday.
Thank you. June 27th. Yeah, it was so cute. My mom was, she got dinner ready and cake ready, and she turned on our disco lights and had music going, and she said, "And what would a party be without a DJ?" And Melissa pops around the corner. It was like,
that was my cue to like pop out and go, "Surprise! Happy birthday! I flew all the way down from Vegas." So now we're here. We wanted to record a podcast because we're, you know, together for the first time since April 2020. So where are we exactly? Because we're in a pretty remote bush area.
We're sitting in the bushes, actually. Bush area. We're sitting in the bushes. We're at my dog's last resting place, a very chill spot in the middle of the mountains, secret location, about 10 minutes from town.
So 10 minutes from Missoula in Montana, we're in like bear country, and it's just the most beautiful summer day. And coming from the desert, I have to say this is just a wonderfully refreshing experience to be around all this greenery in your home territory. Finally, after all the years of knowing you, I'm finally like where you're from.
Oh, we tried to cram so much into these last 2 days. We're tired. Older. This is how I know I'm older. I used to do this when I was younger and it didn't faze me, but I tried to fit in camping in the wild. I tried to fit in a dip in Flathead Lake. I tried to fit in a dip in the hot springs. And I feel like we still may have missed some things that are like quintessential Montana must-dos.
It's been a pretty amazing weekend considering that we just had the solstice and it's still like a pretty bright full moon. Like, it's just been absolutely magical to be here.
Yes. Placid Lake. So we went camping at Placid Lake, and it's really cool because you drive out to Sealy and then you take a gravel road that's very tiny into the mountains west towards the Salish Kootenai Reservation. And Placid Lake is a subalpine high elevation lake that is, well, we heard a bear. There was a bear walking around our campsite all night.
Yes, we sure did. And it was terrifying for me. At the same time, though, I kept my cool, I think. I was close to it and it kind of grunted at me. And I thought my instinct right away was like, it's a bear. But I didn't like scream or run. We just calmly turned around and went the other way back to where we should have been, you know?
Right. And it didn't seem aggressive either. Like, no. It wasn't a roar or a huff, or like grizzly bears will like kind of woof at you, like kind of jump around. But this one was kind of like going about your business noises almost.
Yeah. Nature's just been doing its thing, and I'm just so happy to be around to like observe it and be its witness and be a part of it. Like, the hot springs were absolutely incredible, but that was my first time like actually boondocking. I didn't even know what boondocking was.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know. I've done it.
Off-grid in a campsite that has no electricity, no running water. You have to bring it all in with you and pack it all out. And Placid Lake Campground, it's a pretty cool campground. There were only two other people there. Very typical. We had the young couple talking about their relationship. Then we had
party dudes.
The party dudes who brought their kayaks and probably more beer than water with them. And they played. I was hopeful at first because they had a New Order song when we first got there. And I was like, yes, we might be camping by people who are playing good music. And then it turned into Footloose, right?
they had it on like classic 80s hits.
Footloose.
As a DJ, I was like, this is a random 80s mix that they're playing, and they're so loaded they don't even realize that the playlist was going around and around.
Oh no.
But our camp was like super special. I mean, we were like legit there just to enjoy the land itself and take in all of its beauty, which we did. And it really just got me thinking about how many people are out there like not doing that. They're just kind of partying around in Blackfoot territory.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to, that's how you go out properly, right? You have to respect that the land is a living being around you, and that it has needs and purpose. And it's not just there for like our use, fun and done type activities. So yeah, it's really important to, like, you, when you got off the plane, you introduced yourself to the land. That was cool.
Immediately. And, that's what I do when I go everywhere. Even when I was going over the mountains and just to see how green everything was, I just felt so humbled to be in its presence. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, look at you. Mm-hmm. And here I come. So I immediately kind of just introduced myself and my intention. And then we landed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it was a very cool, like, uneventful night. We weren't worried about camping because we were sleeping in the back of a truck underneath a topper. But the two people, the other two campers, were in soft tents and the bear was around. So I didn't think we would be hurt or anything.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning, like, gorgeous loon sounds. And it's so cool to hear them call to each other. And they're different calls. And so you hear the long loon sound. And then you hear the answer that's more chirpy and bird song sounding. It was super cool.
Yeah, it's the first time I've heard pure silence in like years. Absolutely. Yeah. Years as a, yeah, city person. I'm just so grateful to be here. And now we're on this literal mountain in the forest recording a podcast. Like, this is the coolest job ever. It's not even a job. This is how we live.
Yeah, it's like what we were talking about earlier, like, oh, healing through dealing through lifestyles of just being born as Indigenous women in this time.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that we are made to do. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that, you know, it's 2021 and we have a podcast and we can record it in a place like this is such a blessing. It really, truly is. I must sound completely different because I'm like in a forest than how I usually sound on the shows.
Well, this is fun. We've never done anything outside of our offices. So, and that's what we hope to be, is like this, like I was telling you earlier, like mobile everything, yeah, remote everything, every service or program we kick out can be offline and used in rural areas. But we were talking about, maybe we should not talk about that. We should stick to good things. Culture, humility, and introducing yourself to land. After we went camping, then we drove around. I took her through like a little Flathead loop and we stopped by Flathead Lake and dipped in the lake.
Super cold water. But you know what? When you pass a body of water that is that majestic and that big and that old, there was no way I could go by it without like being introduced to it. Mm-hmm. I had to go in the water. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'd come all this way and not do it. That's so lame.
And that's a proper lake too.
Yeah.
It's a, like, down in Arizona, in Phoenix, where we went kayaking a lot, everything was a man-made reservoir.
I mean, Lake Mead in Nevada, like, that's the biggest man-made lake. Like, it's just not, mm-hmm, supposed to be there.
Not supposed to be there. I mean, those populations are, they have their water shipped in. They're completely dependent on shipped in water.
Now I feel guilty for living there. I thought about it. I'm like, I'm really not supposed to be here if I think about it.
But you are experiencing it.
I want to experience
it. And you're maybe one of the only few conscious people in Vegas that I know of who is thinking about the land and the beauty of the land, the, yeah, original people, and how the original people related to and continue to relate to the land, because they're still there.
Exactly. They still are. And that part is a huge massed meadow. People don't know Las Vegas means the meadows.
How cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So here we are now enjoying this part of Turtle Island, I guess you could say. And I'm so looking forward to exploring more, going home. And we're also talking about how you're getting a taste of reintegrating back into the world.
Yeah. So this was kind of like the last time I hung out with anybody was when we went to the Orville Peck concert in, yeah, March 2020. And then the masks went in. And then now we work with elders who are choosing not to be vaccinated, which is totally fine. But to continue working with them, we still have to maintain some pretty tight hygiene protocols. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't just, you know, let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Like, life can't go back to the way it used to be with.
And you know what? Some people still aren't getting the mask thing. Like, when I was arriving here, I got to the Las Vegas airport and there's still a strong federal law mask mandate. But people, there was this lady sitting on a bench with all her luggage. She pulled off her mask to cough brutally into her hand.
Oh my God.
I just looked at her and I was like, how do you not still get it?
Oh no.
And I remember thinking, like, first of all, she wasn't going on my flight. I was like, thank goodness. But there were people who were walking by her right after she had done that into all of her particles that just she coughed out of her body. And I just thought, ew, how many other people are doing this still? Mm-hmm. But, and then I got to Montana where nobody was wearing a mask, because I went into the first store and there was right away a sign that said, you know, the state of Montana has a no mask mandate now. You can totally. And yeah. I felt so strange being the only person wearing a mask. Within the second day, I just stopped wearing mine too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so, we've never had to go out or into places as much as we have when we travel, because we take our food with us. We cook our own food on the road. Mm-hmm. We do our grocery shopping like selectively. Like one person goes in, we don't bring our kid in.
Right.
Because he can't not touch stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so there's all those.
We'll but how do you feel? Those. Like.
Unsure. I'm still unsure. Like, I am just as anxious as everybody else and depressed from this pandemic lifestyle over the last year of not seeing anybody. I'm a social creature. I get, my friends are my life. Like, I love my friends. I love hanging out with them. I love meeting them. I love going to meetings. And so this whole last year was like a detox from people, I guess. It was like the most hardcore social detox I've ever had, because there was nothing normal, no shows, no friends, no nothing. And so now I'm unsure. I feel like it's going to be slow for me. I'm still going to wear a mask in places that are crowded. And I don't care what anybody says, because I care about the elder that I'm working with more.
You really do. I was a little worried you would feel weird about just being around me. But like, I came from a place where people are still wearing masks. Like, and when I go back to Vegas, I told you I'm going to my first little concert. It's just in a venue, like a bar, Friday, with a friend who's coming in from Phoenix. And I think I'm definitely going to wear a mask.
Awesome. Well, that's, I'm glad you're, like, I think it's safe in those situations, especially if people are getting drunk and sloppy.
Yeah. And trying to talk. Yeah. But like the store that I just went into to buy like some records, I didn't pull my mask over my face. I'm wearing it around my neck, but I just wanted to try it. And then I quickly forgot about it right away. I just went back to like being normal. But when I go back to Vegas, I'm definitely going to go back to masks, because there's way more people there. It's just way more dirtier. I mean, Montana, Missoula is so beautiful and clean. And I get it. I get it why they wanted the masks off, even though I heard your numbers are still pretty high.
There's still people in the ICUs. Yeah. Montana is a red state now. And so it's got all of those weird, like, cognitive dissonance things
going
on.
Don't believe in science, people.
Yes, there's billboards that say, get your head out of your mask and stuff like that.
I was waiting for someone to say, take off your mask the first day I was here, because I was literally the only one wearing it everywhere I went when your mom was driving me around. We were getting ready to surprise you. I went to go pick up lunch and I was the only one, and I felt like my voice was muffled and no one could hear what I was saying.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, I look strange as it is. You know, as soon as I got off the plane, people are like, oh, my God, who's that? You know, I walk out with this big black bandana on and all my makeup and tattoos, and I'm in like, you know.
Clutch your pearls, Missoula. Here comes the flight from Vegas. It's got Melissa.
All the Vegas freaks just landed, and they're all wearing masks. They all believe in science. I'm grateful to have come here to experience what it's like to have no masks again, even though I'm going back to a mask zone.
Oh, thanks, Republicans. Right. Yeah, there was an old lady in the store, and I was kind of like, oh, of all people, she should know better.
Yeah.
But she did. I wear a mask in the store. There's people still coughing and sneezing, and I don't, you know, I smell people when I go by them. I like the mask lifestyle. Plus, I have a bunch of cute masks and they match my outfits. But she stopped me and she's like, do you know that you don't have to wear your mask? And I said, I know, but I work with a lot of elders who are not getting vaccinated. And she didn't respond. She just looked off into the distance and said, oh, and walked away. But she had never, I could tell that she had never thought of that before.
Mm.
She had never thought of a young person like me prioritizing my elders over my trip to the store.
That says a lot about her, unfortunately. I mean,
yeah.
The conditioning, we were talking about this and how there's just so many people who are oblivious to so many things that we are naturally aware of, like the automatically Mm-hmm. Like even your mom, and I approached your mother with a mask and I was like, how do you feel about this? Was right away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get into your car and I just came off of a plane. How do you feel about that? You know, because right away I was like, I'll keep it on if you want me to. Like, I don't mind just being masked the whole time I'm here.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I go on her level too, because I have an autoimmune disease. Practically everyone almost has. Maybe you should go check if you're undiagnosed. But autoimmune diseases are pretty prevalent now. A lot of people have chronic illnesses, autoimmune diseases. Mine is a Hashimoto's. It's a thyroid thing, which could be caused from a couple of different things. Extreme amount of chronic stress, which is so native.
Like, unfortunately
we got a lot of stress, and it could be from my career as a sampling technician early in my career, sampling mining contaminants that, you know, some days I lugged around wet boots that I accidentally stepped in contaminated mud with. Mm-hmm. and during that time of my life I got regular like blood checkups and testing, but you never know. And then I used to be addicted to running, and that was my form of, you know, some people drink. I was addicted to running, and it wasn't a good run for me if I didn't hurt and I wasn't exhausted. And so I'd go about 12 miles, and I think that could have led to burning out my adrenals. And so,
wow.
Three different things possibly that could have caused the Hashimoto's, but I'm healing from that right now. It takes diet, a stressless lifestyle, lots of TLC, and then like caring about these little like things. Like if I was a massage therapist still, when I was a massage therapist, my immune system was like super awesome. It wasn't for that first year because I got sick, but a lot. But then after that, there was not anyone, like I would have customers come in so that I could do a detox massage so that they could get rid of their cold. And my rule was, if you notice like your head getting thick, you know that feeling?
Yeah, I used to feel dizzy after massages.
That feeling before you know you're sick, like before you get a head cold, you can come into my office and I'll do a lymph drainage and circulation massage. And so I drain your lymph nodes, which are your body's trash cans, and get rid of all of the gunk in your system that you've been carrying around with you because you've got a new cold coming on, new gunk forming. And so I drain your lymph nodes and then advise you to just drink a gallon of water. And you know, it's not medical advice, it's just this is not right. Medical advice, right? Like this is just what I noticed with my clients over the 5 or 6 years that I was seeing people. And I had women, like a small handful of women, who would come in and get the lymph drainage and circulation on the first day that they were sick, and they would drink a gallon of water. They would feel like crap the next day because I just kicked out all that stuff into their system, right? And then the third day, they would feel totally fine. Their cold will go away. It stops their cold in their tracks. Like there's science to it, though. You have to have that massage, drink lots of water, take your immunity vitamins, whatever you do to do immunity vitamins, and it does go away like when you tackle a cold like that. But where was I
autoimmune?
I have a strong immune system when I was massaging, but I don't think I had my Hashimoto's then, because I was also running those 12 miles at a time. And then it's when I moved to Phoenix is when I started to recognize like symptoms that were not normal, like rapid beating heart. Like it felt like I was going to pound out of my chest. And I'm not a person who has anxiety attacks. Mm-hmm. I don't get, like I get normal nervous, like normal stage fright, but nothing like over the top. And I noticed a couple of times it was going over the top, and I got my blood tested, and my thyroxin levels or my T4 levels were so far off the charts. The naturopath lady was like, how are you even just sitting there in front of me? Because your body is so out of balance.
It's because we're used to living with high levels of stress and like an unbalanced everything.
Just tough through it. Tough it out.
Unfortunately, that's like just the walk it off, you know, like we'll just walk it off kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was developing an autoimmune before I came to America, and I used my diet to kind of mm-hmm. keep it in check. Once I started to learn about hormones and cortisol levels and inflammation and everything that causes all of that, I was able to pretty much make it go away.
Yeah, you can reverse things.
Yeah, and you really can.
And my Western doctor, so I don't completely discount Western medicine, but he's telling me it doesn't matter what I put in my mouth, that my Hashimoto's will never go away.
Really?
According to like diet and stuff. And then I go to my naturopathic doctor and she said, okay, first of all, stay away from potatoes, bananas, and pineapples. Those things turn to straight sugar after you eat them.
Oh my God, those are like my three favorite things.
Dang it. But
they don't bother me.
She told me what to eat and what not to eat. For your specific, particular.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And so I stuck to it and I healed to a point, but then the rest of it is like stress in life and work and mm-hmm. getting a handle on that. And that's where the rest of my healing lies, is just.
It's an ongoing process. I mean.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's like it's never ends.
But it's interesting. It's so informing. And I feel really smart afterwards because I'm looking at my own symptoms and the impact on me. And then I'm looking at multiple different healing mechanisms and choosing which one's right for me. So I like the journey.
Me too. I'm learning to really love the journey of becoming a better person and just healthier in like all aspects of my life. It's just been a wild, not so wild though, because the majority of the work I went through was during COVID. So when you said that you had a major detox with, you know, not being around people, I felt like a major relief. Like I just needed a break from the whole world, to coming from such a people pleasing place and, you know, the whole radio personality thing. Like I just felt like it was a much needed break, and I really just took it and almost just like curled up with it and just rested and did all the resting I possibly could. And it was such a benefit, because I feel so much better now. And I am kind of excited to reintegrate into the world again. Like mm-hmm. I've had my fill of the me time. Mm-hmm. I've had my fill of the deep inner work healing that I had to do by myself. And I'm just really grateful for it. And I'm also really grateful that I get to work with IV as a way of like how I, you know, survive in this world. Mm-hmm. Because working with you guys has also given me a special, unique experience to heal. You know, I don't have to go punch in a clock somewhere and be around people and work under a boss that I don't really know that well or doesn't really care about me. Mm-hmm. Like we all genuinely care about each other, and mm-hmm. it makes for an extremely healthy work environment. Mm-hmm. It really does. When you work with people who are aligned with you and who you genuinely care and trust, it's phenomenal. And I hope that whoever is listening gets to experience that if they haven't, because it's the life.
I'm a little bit stubborn and bullheaded, but if you don't get to experience it, you should make it happen.
Yeah. There are people out there who truly believe that they have to work for a 401k at some job, at some corporate thing, because that's the only way they're ever going to survive. Like they truly believe that, you know, like I had a friend who was so adamant on getting me into her job because to me or to her, I looked like someone who was not planning my elderly life very well. Like I think she was worried that, you know, I'm not going to have the health insurance that I'm going to need because I'm destined to get sick. Everybody who gets old is just going to have to rely on the healthcare system eventually. And you need that 401k because your body's not going to be as strong to go put in the hours at some job. It's like, you can actually take control of everything. Mm-hmm. And if you really want it, you can.
So we started following 70-year-old women who lift weights on Instagram.
You know, like the 70-year-old vegan lady who looks like she's 40. Come
that's
on.
That's amazing.
That's going to be me in like, how old am I? Oh, yeah. 30 years. So I got like 30 more young years to go, and I'm about to turn 40. So
right.
And it's because of the choices I've made. And if I can bounce back to this level at this state in life, anybody can. Mm-hmm. So
you've come so far on your like, we talk a lot about old Melissa.
I have to talk about my addictive ways because it helps me heal. Mm-hmm. And I would hide it for so long. And I think when you talk about things, or at least when I do, I feel better about it. And I don't mind the fact that I'm healing in a public way. And like, and I hope someone notices who may be struggling as well with the same addictions that I had, and like, hey, it's totally doable. You just got to figure out your specific way to heal individually because there was no general way to do it, which I really thought there was. Like, I really thought that I had to go to rehab and do a program with a bunch of people. Mm. And I never wanted to do that. That's why I've never been to rehab. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was the only way. But lo and behold, that you just, I just had to spend time with myself. I had to really reflect, mm-hmm. dig deep to the root of my problems.
And have a friend who's supportive and can have the ugly, teary conversations with you that you need. And
someone who can handle the, like, hard truths. Mm-hmm. You need a friend like that. And like, Suta and I have really tough conversations all the time.
Yeah. We don't, it's not all flowers and
it's not
music over here.
It's not an Instagram show over here. Even though our Instagrams are pretty cool. Like, our real lives are the real messiness of life.
Yeah.
And I embrace it.
Yeah, it's like how I love to be vocal about it because I've had too many friends commit suicide before we were even done being teenagers. Ugh. And that's not even getting a chance at life because the life that we have when we're teenagers is so limited and so confined into this one route. Like, I don't know how many other Native girls were told that from their ASVAB tests or their, you know, character leaning tests that they're only good for being a CNA. Or going to the army, that's what I was told. Like, maybe I could try to be a nurse, but then he looks at my grades and kind of, you know, I tried for my B's. I tried, you know, if I just coasted like some of my party friends did, I would be straight F's. Like, I had to work hard and try. I had to put effort into everything. But because of that, it made me like tackle all of the, like, my character deficiencies, I suppose, like where I'm not completely whole and I'm not as good as I can be, or as loving or caring or considerate of the people around me. Those are the things where you have to take a really hard look at yourself and then have somebody who you trust and love to be like, well, you know, it was kind of shitty of you to do this. And you have to be able to hear it. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to not react. Like, you have to be able to understand it and try to see where other people are coming from when they're talking about your character. Are they telling you something so that they minimize you to control you, which I have experience with that? Or are they telling you something so that you are more considerate and better? Like, there are different intentions for people telling you things
Absolutely.
About yourself.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah.
I'm just really grateful. I've had a great circle of friends this whole time. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. It really makes a difference in life.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think, yeah, that is also a good characteristic to have is, do you have good friends in your life? Can you even, like, form healthy relationships with people? Like, my friends I've been friends with for 10, 15, 20 years, you know? Like, those are the friends that I can't wait to see when the borders open. And you're one of them now. We're going on, what, 6 years, seven mm-hmm. years? That's mm-hmm. great. I mean, mm-hmm. the fact that we can even form friendships despite all that we've been through says a lot about us, you know? Yeah. And there's some people who, unfortunately, have trouble with friendships even, to mm-hmm. even have a proper support system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just...
Well, it takes a lot of
Where
trust.
Where do you begin?
Yeah. It takes a lot of trust. And I think both of us were at a time in our lives where we were very open about our healing and very open about our own flaws.
Yes.
Like, we can't walk around in a daze about our own flaws as people and how, yeah, that's just not real. Like, so we had a good starting point of we were both, like, I had just got sick. And you had just moved to Arizona. And so I had to, like, reevaluate how I was eating, how I was exercising, the level of stress that I was allowing. And because I'm a helper, that's my personality. Go figure. I'm running a nonprofit now. But I'm a helper and I tend to minimize my own feelings and energy to help other people with their whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that's yeah, it's almost, yeah, a form of, like,
self-harm. Self-abuse.
Yeah. For someone who has lived a life of self-loathing like me, like my own self-abuse, like I recognize it in other people right away. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. that is, it's like you think you're unworthy in a strange way that you...
But you're reading a good book right now about, it's not the love languages. You know, everybody knows that five love languages book.
Yeah.
But you're reading like the different kind of people that
like
we
are. It's like a relational specialist connection, human connection specialist that is mentoring me right now on how to relate to people because I've only been relating to people through drugs and alcohol. which is a really sad reality that I've had to face, even though I've been able to maintain like really strong friendships. When it comes to meeting new people, I have trouble connecting with them. That's not in like a celebratory, like party kind of way. Like, hey, let's go do some shots at the bar. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, let's go smoke a bunch of drugs, you know? Like, I don't really know how to relate to people. And I've had to teach myself on what's my style of relating, what's been demonstrated to me my whole life. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I've had a really weird, anxious way of connecting with people. I need to let that go and be more secure and confident. And like, it's really hard to look at yourself that way and see your patterns
critically
and be conscious of them and try to choose better the next time that exact moment or circumstance comes up.
But thinking like that is the first step.
It's the very first step. If you can even just acknowledge the fact that you have a weird way of doing something or a problem, you're fine. You're
going to be fine. It's just the first step.
And to keep repeating it, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you just do it once and then you're fine. You're healed. No, you got to keep doing it every single time. Because our traumas resurface over and over. Like, I'm going through the whole residential school thing trauma again because of everything that's happening in the news.
And they're going to keep finding kids too.
Yeah. Like, I really thought that it was something that I'd processed a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. And now it's resurfacing and it kind of caught me off guard, all those emotions coming back up again, but I'm getting better at dealing with it. And it just goes to show that if you keep practicing, it does get better.
Oh, I love practicing.
Me too.
That's what I'm working on next, is my discipline. So I'm doing little things where I for sure like take my counselor's journal prompt and I can't even like devote 5 minutes to it. I'll do 30 seconds and do a bullet list. Just the flow of my thoughts at that of the question. And for me, getting something on the paper is an accomplishment.
Yeah. Even if you have to go in 1% increments, I think a lot of us, especially us high achieving people, we tend to like make it big. Like you said, 30 minutes, like that's a long time to devote to journaling. Mm-hmm. Especially if your brain is really going through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like write one sentence, start there, even a word.
But that's like, I think that's like the goal of this year, my new year. I'm turning 38 this year.
You are. Today, it's your birthday.
Today, tonight I was born. Thank you, Mom, for everything that you've done for me to be here right now. Even having this a conversation about conscious healing and even going overboard on the spectrum of healing, of how much is too much in one area and then it resurfaces. But it's such a fun thing. If you have the right people around you, it's going to be a more pleasant journey with small, delightful surprises than it will be like a re-traumatizing, like horrible journey through healing.
Like a really messy ayahuasca trip where you can't stop vomiting.
Yeah, don't do that.
You don't want to have that kind of experience. I mean, breakthroughs are beautiful. My first breakthrough, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, it felt like, it's like if there was like a thunderstorm and a crazy rain and it just stopped and it cleared up and then like the sun came out, but everything was still wet and shiny because you had just seen the mess of what happened, but it's like in a different light.
Yeah.
That's how I felt my first breakthrough. I was like, holy smokes.
Wow, that's beautiful to see it like that.
You know, like the mess is still around, but because the sun is shining on it, it's a different perspective and it looks beautiful. You're like, I'm a beautiful mess, actually.
We're all beautiful messes.
Yeah.
We are perfectly imperfect.